transform.
This is 702.
This is 702.
For the curious.
Right, it's now 23 minutes to 2 o'clock. So at this time of year, we're seeing lots of young graduates, lots of graduates getting ready to consider what to do, ready to walk down and be acknowledged for the hard work that they have done as part of their qualifications. So this is that time of year when hard decisions have to be made. What are those next options? What should you bear in mind when you are making this decision? Because whilst you're getting ready, should you be getting ready rather to enter the workplace, or should you opt to pursue a postgraduate study? And I wanted to get the views of my guests who are up next, and that is Nola Payne. And Nola is the head of faculty at Information Communications Technology at the Independent Institute of Education. They believe that study further because it will increase your chances of getting employment, and just whether or not that has worked for you is what I want to know. Give me a call. When do you step out of an academic career and go into the workplace? Do you also recommend studying for postgraduate qualification? Or is there a point when it could be overkill, where you are overqualified in the marketplace? So we'll take your thoughts on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. So we'll be discussing the benefits of how a second degree not only significantly improves a person's chances of finding employment, but how I think holding a postgraduate qualification, whether or not, we'll interrogate whether or not it boosts your prospects in a tough job market. Nola, thank you so much for joining us. Hi.
Thanks for having me, Azania.
So it is a tough economy at the moment. We're seeing unemployment figures higher than they've been in a very, very long time. They're back to 2008 levels. So it's deeply concerning. And this is also a time where we have to make our decisions wisely, whether to leave a job, whether to study further. So what are some of the things? Is one degree good enough for this kind of economy?
Well, I think, you know, in some instances and some job disciplines, there one degree may be enough for you to get into the job market.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe later on in your career, you may decide to continue with postgraduate options as you go into management, maybe executive positions.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a lot of careers where just having a degree is not enough, because there's a flood of graduates coming out with similar or the same degrees, and there are just limited job options for them. So I think that is one of the most important things to recognize if you're doing one of those qualifications, is to, you know, what are your options to differentiate yourself from those peers that are going to be fighting for the jobs at the same time as you.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a variety of reasons.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So how do we know that then, that, you know, the sector that we're getting into is flooded with the same qualifications and that we might need to distinguish ourselves?
Well, the first thing I think, you know, that should be done, and perhaps should have been done earlier on before the matriculants went in to do their degree,
yeah,
is to determine the demand in that particular area that they would like to go into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if you're doing something very, you know, that is not a popular area to go into, and there's a class of 100 students that you're sitting with, and this is happening at other universities as well,
yeah,
and there perhaps only maybe 50 jobs advertised a year in that area, you are going to come across some kind of problem in sourcing a job afterwards.
Mm.
Whereas other careers, you know, the IT field, which I can speak about in particular, there are thousands of job openings all the time, and you're more likely to get a job just with your degree, and you're not going to be fighting so many people for jobs as you would in a scarce career position or
part. Yes, yes. So should we kind of regard our first qualification as just laying the foundation, that this is just the beginning? Because when you get your initial qualification, you know, when you're about to graduate, it is seen as, phew, I've done it, you've reached the end of a race, so to speak. So is it about changing perspective about how that first qualification should be deemed?
Absolutely. I think it's a foundation. And it gives you entry into the job market. Generally, you know, a degree is going to not only demonstrate to the person employing you that you're interested in a particular field,
yeah,
but it's also going to indicate to them you are able to think critically, you've got the potential to learn and to grow. So it's an indicator sort of your potential in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily going to provide the insight into the various options or the wider aspect of a particular discipline. You know, and that is where a postgraduate qualification will allow you to hone your skills and to get deeper into the specifics of a career path,
mm-hmm.
Rather than just, you know, sitting at the looking at the level where you're not getting into the detail.
Right.
So I think, you know, and progressing. If you want promotion, you should be looking at something to set yourself apart from those that
everybody
are fighting for the same position.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to invite you to calls right now. My guest is Nola Payne, the head of faculty information communications technology at the Independent Institute of Education, getting her thoughts on whether one degree is enough, especially considering that we're living in such a tough economy. So the employment figures that came out not too long ago suggest that we're not creating jobs. So how do you then ensure that you put yourself in a prime position for you to be able to gain employment? So 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. And because I remember some time back, you know, people would say that if you are overqualified, if you have too many qualifications, then you also, in fact, there are other challenges that you're likely to face as a result of having many qualifications. So how do we balance it out if that's the case, Nola?
Well, you know, I think it depends on what you mean by too many qualifications. Example, have you got...
So you're saying depth in a particular discipline?
Mm-hmm. In a particular discipline, yes. You may, you know, well, I don't think it's looked at in that way these days any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really almost an entry into the job market, the minimum requirement these days is some kind of undergraduate qualification.
Yes.
And there's such a fight for positions that any kind of postgraduate qualification or expertise you have is going to put you ahead of the job market. And I think, you know, there's this misconception that the higher the qualification is, the more maybe the more theoretical your understanding is,
mm-hmm.
of that discipline, and you
need the practical
in any practical aspect.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. You know, people, you know, you think, well, postgraduate, that's an honors degree, then a master's degree and a PhD or a
mm-hmm.
doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the postgraduate diploma that is also available as an alternative to an honours degree. It's on the same national qualifications framework as an honours degree. That's the NQF8 level.
Yeah.
And it gives you entrance into master's degree and doctor's degree as well. So it's another option. And it's more practical. It's more applied rather than the honours degree, which is research-based.
Mm-hmm.
With theoretical aspects.
Right. So let's take these calls, Nola. We start with Beloved calling from Alberton. Good afternoon, Beloved.
Good afternoon, Sisaza, and your guest as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Sisaza, I agree with the guest that when it comes to postgrad education, it gives you more avenues.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very practical, but we have a problem here. Mm-hmm. I got my postgraduate because I was secure in a well-paying job. So if we say that people that have got degrees need to differentiate themselves by considering postgrad, I have a difficulty finding out how are they going to finance it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Without getting into the job market itself and funding
it. In the first place,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the difficulty we're facing.
Okay, right.
The
funding question. Thank you for raising that, Beloved. Nola, how do we get around that aspect, the funding question, if we do continue? Yes, I know that different universities, I guess it's a question of also doing research, because they are often ring-fenced funds, but in the main, it does funding, whatever qualification is a challenge.
Absolutely. You know, I think if you're working, Beloved said that, you know, if you're not working, it's a problem.
Yeah.
If we just deal with working, you've obviously got more options open besides having a salary that you can support
mm-hmm.
and pay for your studies.
Mm-hmm.
Your employer may be prepared to offer you some kind of bursary or financial assistance. If you've got no job and you're looking to now either change the discipline in which you qualified in your undergrad degree, or just something to put you ahead of those looking for a degree, it may be a bit more of a problem. And there are various ways that you could go about it. I think there's more options available at a public university rather than private institutions.
Yes.
Public universities, often they, for postgraduate studies, they have their own internal bursary or financing schemes, which you can apply for. So they should just make inquiries at their student office. There are companies that are willing to offer bursaries if they've seen successful in a degree, and they are, or they like the way that you're going to progress in your career, the focus that you're taking. They may be able to offer you a scholarship or a bursary. You know, and there's various ways. So, you know, you can get a bank loan, student loan, they don't charge you interest, you don't pay it back while you're studying. So there are various ways, but it is definitely challenging in this country to not only secure yourself a job, but then to continue supporting yourself.
Yes, which is where his concern lies, that it's all good to say that, but there is this funding problem. Let's go to Simon next in Bryanston. Hello, Simon.
Hi, good day, Zanya, and to your guest. I come from a skills background, and I have to say that we have way too many people with qualifications, formal education, and not enough people with skills that can actually do jobs and make jobs for other people. The education system is geared towards educating employees and not creating entrepreneurs.
Oh, excellent point. Thanks, Simon.
Yeah.
I think one of the, you know, it's been sort of noted by institutions that, especially in this country, entrepreneurial kind of people need to be developed. A lot of, in instances, you can't find a job, you need to make your own job.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the real basics of entrepreneurship, you know, budgeting, financing, business plans, all of those kinds of things should be built into many qualifications. And I think, you know, when students are coming into, from a trick especially into an undergrad degree, and their focus is not on starting their own business at that age or that stage, but getting into a job. But definitely at a postgraduate level, by then you might have had a couple of years experience in the workplace. You may be thinking, you know, I can't work for a boss. I don't want to work from 9 to 5 every day and look at other options. One of the most important things I think they should look at is developing the skills or the entrepreneurial skills. And, you know, some people go into doing certificates in entrepreneurship. They may go into an MBA as a postgrad option, and it just gives them that proper finance, management, strategic kind of thinking over and above the discipline that they may have studied in.
Yes, and this is an area, and I wonder if Simon is still there, but this is an area that we keep talking about, Simon, to say that the focus has been, of course, on making universities more attractive, more appealing, and we haven't done enough to make other types of skills and, for instance, TVET colleges the option for those that cannot go to university. And so we are missing, as what Nola said, if we couple that with the entrepreneurial skills you need to run your own business, we're missing a real opportunity.
Sam? Absolutely.
Yeah,
we are missing opportunities, and there's certain fields where you know, they've actually stopped the short courses, short development courses for those skills. You now have to, I mean, I've got 20 years experience in my field, and I've been told I need to go back to university for 4 years to get an undergraduate degree.
Wow.
What
field is that?
What field are you in, if you don't mind?
I'm a paramedic by profession.
Paramedic, okay.
Okay, yeah. You know, I was going to say, I mean, and I'm sure it doesn't happen for paramedics. You need to know all of the, you know, how to take a blood pressure. But in other disciplines, it's possible if you've got a number of years working experience, they've got something that is called the recognition of prior learning.
Yeah.
So you can be granted based on the experience and the skills you've learned in your job over a couple of years. You can be granted access into, for example, an honours degree without having completed an undergraduate degree.
Yes.
But I think opportunities, yeah.
This speaks to this question, the burden right now, the need, in fact, for lifelong learning because of what technology presents, you know, the challenges to the nature of work that technology presents, the change in relevant skills, that there's a need for us to commit to an attitude of lifelong learning.
Well, I mean, if you think 10 years ago, there are careers now today, which are popular careers that weren't available 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they've got social media, or digital marketers, you know, all of those kinds of things. So those new careers come up every year, every couple of years, there's new ones coming onto the scene, which we can't imagine what the next ones are.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to, as an employer or an employee, you're going to have to keep up with technology and the new skills. And that is going to require some kind of upskilling.
Right. I just want to get back to the calls and share some SMSs. But we've got Tia in Randburg calling. And Tia, I see you're a university lecturer.
Yes, good day. I just want to comment that postgrad education is not available for everyone. There's usually minimum requirements.
Yes.
I won't mention my specific department. But if you don't have a 65% average, we don't even look at you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got space for 22 honours, and we get more than 180 applications every year. But in my field, a postgrad is really make you more competitive, and your starting salary, the difference is about 40,000 rand per annum.
That's incredible. So if you enter the job market with that postgrad, that's your earning potential. Now, out of interest, Tia, what is the sector? What is this industry or your discipline?
It's the green jobs. You know, there's a huge growth in the green jobs and also for promotion. Without a postgraduate qualification, your chances of being promoted is very, very slim.
Yeah, so you encourage continuing, getting a postgraduate qualification and beyond.
Yes, and the thing is, a lot of universities, as in it came out in the discussion, has internal funding for postgrads. Unfortunately, there's limits put on South African public universities on the amount and the number of postgrads we can accept into our courses. But it's strongly advisable in certain fields. So current students must really investigate, as your guest said, is it necessary? Does it make you more competitive in your field or not?
Yes, yes. Lovely advice, Tia. Thank you very, very much. I just want to get to Thibaut T on Twitter, who says, I think when you consider taking postgraduate studies, you have to consider, one, is it necessary for your career? Two, is the work you do willing to pay you for studies? Lastly, one must bear in mind that funding for postgraduate studies is very scarce. So there's one view. And then another one from Didi says, I think companies and government must move to fixed-term contracts at all mid-level and senior positions. There would be more professionals becoming entrepreneurs and making space for young ones to get in and gain experience and so on. Virtuous circle, he says. Let's go to Fernand. Fernand calling us from Hartbeespoort. Good afternoon, Fernand.
Yes, good day. Just a comment. Sadly, university today, it's not, I think, what it should be. You know, a young kid coming out from matrix with mathematics pass note at 45 as an example, enters the university, will go to university, and at the end of the day, the quality of those universities, I mean people coming out from university, is so low that at the end of the day, no one wants to hire them, because how can you do a society with mathematics 45, you pass? You push people to pass. And then everybody wants to go to university. They've been told that university, after that, you become millionaire.
Right. So you're saying the level of education is not what it used to be in universities.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Okay.
I've got grandchild at 19 years old, and he was smiling, telling me that, Grandpa, I just passed my mathematics. I had 49. I said, don't even smile. I mean, 49 is absolutely disgusting.
Oof,
so at the end of the exercise, we are fabricating a society of 45. So we'll have engineer of 45, we'll have technician of 45, we'll have doctors of 45.
And I don't think it's a good way.
Okay. Fernand, thank you for your view. And we've got another one. And I'm going to come to you, Nola, for your final comments, considering what we've heard. Alistair in Sandton says, I won't even entertain a candidate for an interview without the minimum of an honours degree. Sure. Right. It's tough out there. Your thoughts, Nola?
Yeah, I think they're raising the standards. That's why I say the competition for jobs is, you know, getting really tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just going back to one of your callers who said they're restricted on numbers for
postgraduates. Yes.
I think, you know, we need to consider as well UNISA, who have got, they take unlimited numbers in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many private colleges as well, such as where I come from, where we have many honours degrees as well, which we have positions open for students. We were happy to consider, you know, numbers and so forth coming in.
Yeah.
And so it's not only the public universities that are limiting, you know, the normal traditional face-to-face classes kind of universities that are limiting.
Yeah.
There are other options. You know, and they could, in terms of funding, the students could look at doing it on a modular basis. You know, paying for one module at a time, maybe every 6 months or two of them, and stretching it out over a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, not taking four modules at a time, which is going to then tie you down to a chunk of money, and you're going to do it over a year or maybe 18 months.
Yeah, so there are lots of ways to skin this cat.
There are ways to restructure your funding for what you can afford.
Nola, thank you very much. Thank you for your views.
Thank you for having me, Zania. Enjoy the rest of your day.
That is Nola Payne, and she's the head of Faculty for Information, Communications and Technology at the Independent Institute of Education.